47 people in Wisconsin died in domestic violence incidents last year. Those deaths could have been prevented. That's according to the latest annual report from End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin, which came out late last month. Today is the first day of National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Patty Seeger is Executive Director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. Patty, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
We'll talk about this report a little bit. First of all, a lot of people, and I think of domestic violence, it's usually intimate partner violence, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, or exes. Domestic violence covers a little more than that, doesn't it?
Well, it can cover more than that. And for the purposes of this homicide report, we actually stretch it a little bit further. Because what we have found over the years, we've gathered this evidence for about 20 years now. And what we've found is that often a bystander, perhaps a friend who's at the house helping the victim move out, also gets killed. And we recognize that that bystander doesn't really have a relationship to the abusive person who just killed them. But if it wasn't for domestic violence, that person would still be alive.
And you've been watching, as you say, domestic violence and domestic violence homicides for 20 years now. Are there trends? Are we seeing numbers go up or down over the years?
The only time we saw a really significant trend, and it was a trend up, it was the years of 2008 and 2009, the first 2 years of the recession. We saw a very dramatic climb in the number of homicides those years. But otherwise, we've seen them kind of go up and down anywhere between 35 and 70 homicides per year.
And when we look at the 47 domestic violence homicides from 2018, each story is unique, and you actually outline the stories in your report. That said, do commonalities jump out at you this year and in years past?
Oh, you know, there's always commonalities. Clearly, the method of killing, guns tend to be the predominant weapon used to kill about 65% of the time. We know that under both state and federal law, actually, domestic abusers who've had a conviction for prior domestic violence are banned from ever possessing a firearm. But we know that we look at each report each year and we discovered that 30% of those who used a gun to kill somebody were prohibited and were able to illegally obtain one, usually through arms list or going to a non-federal gun dealer, maybe at a gun show or something like that.
This report, this annual report, looks just at homicides, so cases with fatalities. I'm guessing this is just one small subset compared to domestic abuse overall in Wisconsin.
Right. It's the tip of the iceberg, really. We know in Wisconsin that there are more than 30,000 arrests each year for domestic violence, and we know that the 70 or so domestic violence programs scattered across the state serve between 40 and 45,000 people annually.
Talking to Patty Seeger, Executive Director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. It's National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and Patty's group is out with a new report on domestic violence homicides in 2018. One point you raise in the report is that many, maybe all of these homicides might have been preventable. And I want to focus a lot of our attention on prevention. What kind of things could we be doing to prevent domestic abuse and especially these fatal incidents?
Well, with funding from the Wisconsin Department of Justice several years ago, we and Domestic Abuse Wisconsin launched a lethality assessment program using an evidence-based tool that was created at Johns Hopkins University out of Maryland. That tool is the only evidence-based tool out there, and it's 12 simple questions that a police officer or an advocate can ask a victim, and given how the answers to those questions score, they can determine if somebody is in a particularly lethal situation. Once they determine someone's in a lethal situation, then the focus is on educating that victim about the fact that their relationship could be lethal and getting them connected more deeply to resources that could help keep them safe.
That said, do we have enough of those resources out there?
There is domestic violence services in all 72 counties and in all 11 tribes. And in fact, in some communities such as Dane and Milwaukee, there's more than one service. So we do have plenty of services in Wisconsin. Right now, though, only 35 counties have adopted the tool. So, you know, there's training of law enforcement on how to implement the tool and training of advocates at domestic violence programs on how to step up services and get victims connected more deeply. So it's a big effort to get all 72 counties engaged fully in this.
Well, staying with that lethality assessment program, you announced the new report at the Waukesha Women's Center. One of the speakers was Delafield Police Lieutenant Landon Nyren. He talked about the lethality assessment program. I want to give a little listen to some of what he had to say.
Getting to the end of the questions and looking them in the eye and saying, individuals in your situation have been killed. I've seen people break down, and it is incredibly powerful.
What kind of things does this lethality assessment look at? What kind of risk factors?
It looks at threats to kill, level of violence, whether or not stalking is involved in the situation, whether or not strangulation has occurred. Has the person threatened to kill the person, and does the person have access to firearms? Whether or not the abuser is employed or not also is a factor. All of these things, and they're just really simple questions for police to ask a victim at the scene. Yes, no. Questions. What we know is the state of Maryland implemented this statewide after they developed the tool with Johns Hopkins University. And in the first year, they saw a 32% decrease in domestic violence fatalities. So I can tell you that our report will see a trend when we see a drop of 32%, like 1 year, the next year, the next year. That's when we know what we're doing is really working.
Now, for people in need of immediate services, we've got the National Domestic Violence Hotline. I've got the number here, 800-799-7233. For people with a hearing impairment, 855-812-1011. How is that compared to other resources out there for people in this situation looking for help?
Well, the national hotline will just get people connected to a domestic violence services program in their state and in their locality. People can also, in Wisconsin, could go to our website, endabusewi.org, and click on the Get Help tab, and you can find links to all of the programs across the state. We have them organized regionally and then by county.
Are there efforts out there? A lot of this focuses, and rightly so, on people who are victims or potential victims of abuse and violence. Are there efforts out there to prevent people perpetrating, whether it's dealing with young people as they grow up, older people, wherever?
Yeah, I mean, this is the place where I think there's the least amount of investment, and it's regrettable. The focus, not that the focus shouldn't be on
right.
providing those victims services that are life-saving, but most victims will tell you, at least initially, they don't necessarily want the relationship to end. They just want the violence to end. And there are not, right now, sufficient resources to provide counseling to people who use violence in their relationship to control their partner. Dane County has a number of batterers intervention programs, as does Milwaukee. And then there are programs scattered throughout the state. But not every community has a batterers intervention program. They aren't necessarily free, so not everyone can pay to go to those services. So it's one of the places where we really feel like there needs to be a bigger investment.
Now, taking it back to that lethality assessment program, sounds like about roughly half of the counties in Wisconsin are on board with that.
About half, yeah.
If people in those other counties are listening, stakeholders, people with the police department, health services, whatever, and they say, yeah, why don't we do that? How can they get started? How can they implement this?
Sure. They can call our office, 608-255-0539, and ask to speak to the Homicide Prevention Program Director. They'll get connected, and that person will start working with them to figure out a strategy to implement it.
And in the counties that are doing this, who all gets trained? You mentioned police officers in some cases. Who else?
Police officers, sometimes prosecutors, the victim advocates, the other people can be trained as well. Healthcare workers, particularly ER folks, can get trained on it, because anyone can ask those questions if they're trained, and they just have to know what to do how to speak to the victim about a potentially lethal situation and where to refer them.
So we've talked about kind of individuals and people in positions of authority. In your report, you talk about communities themselves rather than just individuals taking ownership of the solutions to domestic violence. How can a community start to work on these issues?
Well, in most communities around the state, there are these task forces called Coordinated Community Response Task Forces. And so not every county in the state has one of those either, but a coordinated community response is a group of people in a community, the primary players and anyone else who wants to get involved in figuring out how to intervene and how to prevent future acts of domestic violence, working together to coordinate messages, intervention strategies, prevention strategies, and all talking to each other.
I think it might be easy to get a sense that, okay, domestic abuse, it's tragic, but it's always going to be there. It's not something we can really make a difference on. Obviously, you're sending the opposite message. Can you talk about
the
that?
Absolute opposite message. For the last 3 years, we've been working on what we call primary prevention. We're doing a lot of youth education. We're working with young people around understanding the markers for an abusive relationship and teaching them about what a healthy relationship is and how to move in that direction. There's a lot of, we have 100 kids on our statewide teen council who are working with us every day and reaching out to teens across the entire state of Wisconsin.
And is this, briefly as a wrap up, is this a generational problem? We're trying to interrupt cycles maybe from one generation to the next when it comes to abuse?
Yeah, I think that there's more improvement with each generation. And that goes for all things, right? As each generation learns something, we build on them. Native Americans often talk about the work we're doing today is based on 7 generations back, and the work we're doing today also will affect 7 generations ahead. So that is what we're doing. We're doing something generational.
Patty, thanks again for joining us in the studio
You're
today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
That's Patty Seeger, Executive Director of End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. We talked to her today about the organization's annual report on domestic violence homicides and how communities can help prevent more of them from happening. The number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline, again, is 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233.